Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast, episode number 100. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we did it. Anybody who was listening back in the Bill Glass days, you know that it's not true. You can get your nerd rage emails ready that it's technically episode 315, I believe. And if so, I don't know. But here's what I do know. We're taking live calls. These two people probably, hopefully, technically have heard us fucking around trying to figure out how to make this work. So I'm about to click a button here, Paco, and we will either A, hear somebody calling us from the 806 area code, or yes. B, it will not work, and we will have to hit pause and start over again.
I am hanging on tight.
Here it comes. All right, caller, you are on the air with us live. Who is this? They can't hear us, Paco. They can't hear us.
It's a perfect system. Maybe they fell asleep.
What happened? I have a way to fix it. Maybe there's another way to fix it.
Don't hang up 806.
It's not worth it yet. No, it's right there. Oh, no, they can't hear us.
I can hear you now. Can you hear me? Yes,
we can hear you now. Who is this?
Hey, it went dead for a minute. I was about ready to hang up.
I know how you feel.
Well, if you did, you could call back and jump back in the queue. You might be on hold for at least 5 minutes because we have one other person on hold right now. That's how crazy we are. But I never got your name. Awesome. Who is this?
This is Mike.
Hello, Mike. How are you? Where are you calling us from? Can I ask that? Is that too personal?
No, that's fine. I'm calling from Lubbock, Texas.
Lubbock, Texas?
Oh, yeah.
Mike, do you know that that's where my relatives are from?
Oh, really? And that's a good reason to never come down here then, huh?
I was there this last October. This ought to be an upbeat note on a 100th episode to spread my grandfather's ashes on the family farm.
Oh,
so
that's lovely.
Somebody somewhere is going to get some peanuts with some of Grandpa on them. And that's not true. It was actually they were rotating the field where his old house was. But
my Skippy is extra chunky.
It is extra chunky, and it's got a little sprinkling of redneck on it. You're welcome. Well, Mike, we wanted to do a live call-in show. I put out on the Twitter and the Facebook recently. You may have just been calling in because we announced it earlier. I plan to open it up if nobody called to bitch about one of the shows that my wife likes to watch and how much of a pain in the ass it is to watch. But I don't want to cut off any of your thunder. This is about the listeners.
He's the first caller.
He's the first caller. What did you want to call in and talk to us about, Mike? It's all about you.
Guys, I just wanted to call in and say how much I love your show, and I appreciate you doing it, and I love listening to you every week, man.
I like the way you think.
Wow, Mike, this is already good. This is awesome. We should do this every time.
Yes.
Like, give everybody, because that's what they want, Paco. Right. They want a chance to tell us how amazing we are.
The Stroke Fest line is open.
I feel like I've got my dick out in the champagne room right now.
Yeah, exactly. You know? That's awesome.
Oh, thank you so much, Mike. We appreciate you listening, my friend.
And calling. That's so amazing.
Do you have a TV show that your wife likes to watch that drives you up a wall?
Well, she loves watching all those true crime TV shows, and her favorite ones are usually the ones with the female serial killers.
I knew you were headed there.
I get really worried about once a month. Yeah.
Now, do you sit there watching the show with her in a cold sweat and just, like, watching her eyes to see if there's, like, a glisten? Because here's what I would imagine. If I'm in your shoes, Mike, I'm sitting there, we're watching some kind of, you know, very intellectual, smart serial killer of a woman, and then, you know, your wife kind of, like, whatever something happens, you got to always look at her in case she glances at you. You know what I mean? Like, if she's, like, that's what I would do to you, jackass. You know what I mean?
No, I usually watch all the True Detective shows so I can figure out what she's doing before.
Oh, one step ahead of her. That's a good idea.
You guys are fighting through your DVR. I love it already.
Yeah. He's like a McConaughey down there. Yeah. All right.
Oh, that's awesome. My wife likes to watch So You Think You Can Dance. Does your lady get into any of those, or The Bachelor or The Bachelorette?
No, she actually has good taste.
How dare you? How dare you, sir? Mike, we're going to have to hang up on you now.
Right.
Thanks for calling in. We do truly appreciate you.
You're awesome, Mike.
But you're an asshole for calling my wife an idiot. What do you do in Lubbock, Mike?
For the most part, I tell people they're idiots. That's pretty much my job description.
Are we going to receive an invoice then? Or
exactly. Is that why you're going after my wife? You just punched in? Are you off the clock now? What's going on?
I sell appliance parts is what I do.
I know your world, man. As an apartment manager, I go in all the time. I'm like, listen, I need a new rack for my GE or... what's a good brand? What's that Home Depot brand that starts Amana? How do you say that? Is that right?
Yeah, Amana.
Amana is the old one, but Americana is the one they're selling right now, and that's GE.
So you go in, you get an Amana rack.
If you do apartments, you mostly did GE. So
yeah, that was always well. The lady that owned the apartment building had a Home Depot card. This is riveting for everybody else listening. BT Dubs, and so. She was big on getting the appliances from there because then she didn't have to pay the bill on the Home Depot card immediately. She liked the Amana brand because it was cheap, and I knew you could only get it because Glacier Bay, I believe, is Lowe's version of that, but they don't do appliances. That's all, like, plumbing stuff. But anyway, we would get an Amana dishwasher. I would go down there and get a rack, and then the guy at the appliance place would always tell me, you'd be better off just buying a new dishwasher at this point. Is that the kind of salesmanship you bring to the table, Mike? You just encourage them to go back and start anew?
For racks, hell yes.
Isn't that weird, though? How is it the dishwashers are... And I know, that's what people tuned in to the 100th episode.
Yeah.
They said, you know what I need more from the Dad Podcast? I need more dishwasher part talk. That's what I need, and I have delivered, my good listeners. But how does it work where you price a rack? For those of you listening at home, a brand-new dishwasher... back me up on this, Mike. Brand-new dishwasher's in the 230 to 300 range for a low end, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But a rack is in the 195 range. So one would assume that the motor is all of 95 cents on that dishwasher when you purchase it. Every ounce of your money when you buy a dishwasher is all in that rack is the way that they do it. Yep. They would much rather you buy a whole new dishwasher than buy a rack from them, which just seems like bad business.
I got no answer for it. That's just what they do, man.
He's got to take the fifth.
Listen, as the guy who professionally calls people idiots, I'm just saying you need to get Amana on the horn, and you need to explain to them you guys are being idiots. Here's the thing. Just knock it down to 95, and you'll be not only selling the dishwasher, but it'll be like people are making payments towards their dishwasher because 5 years down the road, if they live in an apartment and the manager comes back, I'm going to keep – that's easy. An owner is always going to replenish racks before they're going to want to drop a $200, $300. Plus, you got to pay for installation on that. It's not good times, you know? Well, Well, thank you, Mike, for coming into appliance talk. I really appreciate it. But I hope I'm not being rude. This is the part that I'm not used to on this show because usually I just go on ad nauseum, and now I have to say farewell to someone prematurely. I talk to people for an hour minimum, you see, and but I'm not good at goodbyes.
I understand, man.
All right, you're happy, Mike. You had a good time. Are you glad you called in?
I'm glad I called in. It's always nice talking to you.
Another satisfied customer.
Hearing your voice. That's what I should say. It's always nice hearing your voice.
I know how you feel.
When I'm talking to you, you can't hear me.
What kind of things do you say to me, Mike? Hold on. Now you've got me back in. You've riveted me again.
Oh, dear Lord.
Am I more of like a preacher? Is it a Southern Baptist church?
And you're
like,
amen,
my brother? Or are you more like, shut the fuck up, let Paco get a word in?
No, mostly I agree with most of what you say.
Good, good. Then you're a solid, upstanding man. And you know what? Nothing short of a hero, Mike.
That was the right answer, and you'll be allowed to call back.
That's right. We're going to keep your number, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right, guys.
Thanks. All right, talk to you later. Thanks, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mike. Bye.
We heard the echo. Yeah, I know. Now we have to get the, we have to tell people, turn the radio off.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing. Mike has to hang up. Okay, good. Mike hung up. We got another call. We're going to go straight to it. Great. We're rolling calls. That's what they do in radio. We're rolling calls.
Is there someone behind this call?
Yes. Oh, okay. Oh, wait, no. This person has to, they say they have to hang.
Stretch.
If you don't have to say those words to me.
All right.
Hello, sir. Who is this?
Hello, hey, it's Michael.
Michael?
Oh, no.
We were just talking to Mike. I don't know if you heard.
He's in Lubbock, Texas. Do you know him?
I could hear him.
That's good to know.
Are you also in the Texas area? Can you guys get like a Mike reunion going?
No, I'm in Las Vegas.
Oh, even better. Mike from Lubbock is going to want to come see you.
Yeah, we're going to want to come see you.
Right? Do you have a broken appliance of some kind that Mike could come and provide parts for to make work?
Oh, I'm sure I'll have one soon. I know if you listen to the latest Nap Time Radio. I know you like the girls over there.
I do love them.
Kate was talking about all of her appliances dying in like a 7-year cycle or something like that.
Yes. It's probably because when she moved into the house, they were all brand new. And that's the bad news bears of that situation. You want to rotate your appliances every so often.
Well,
otherwise,
I'm at 8 years in a brand new house, so I'm in a ticking time bomb.
Yeah, Michael, it's going to go off any minute.
You should preemptively start changing stuff out.
Yeah,
So you're the master of how it happens.
You know, as much as we made fun, I'm sure you're happy to hear that rack talk. Then that you know not to just replace the racks, just get a new dishwasher.
You know what? Yeah. Mike saved me some money there.
Yeah, you are welcome. Now, Mike didn't do shit, all right? Let's be honest. I'm the one who provided the channel. I made this happen.
That's right.
All right, so now, Michael, is there anything that you wanted to call in to ask or talk to us about? Did you also have a show that your wife watches that drives you nuts, or did you just want to chit-chat?
Well, you know, I just wanted to say hi and how much I really appreciate the show. I've been listening to you since the reboot. I've heard every episode up till now, and I have a 4-year-old twins, and it's helped me through some pretty rough times.
Oh my gosh, Michael, are you okay? Do you need a hug, a hand job? What can I do for you?
Maybe both.
It's gonna be hard. I'm not that agile of a man. Paco, you do the hug. I'll do the handy. You're new, so I don't want to throw you under the bus. I don't haze. You know, that's not how I roll. 4-year-old twins. Talk to me about that. I know that you don't have the perspective of necessarily building slowly on children. You just jumped in with both feet. I've heard people who have twins say that they think it's a little bit easier because both of them are going through the same stages at the same time. Well, how say you, Michael?
Well, you know, it feels like the one nice thing is you can't remember the first like 9 months at all. It's just gone. I couldn't tell you anything about those times. But now that they're a little older, you know, it is really nice to have them playing with each other. Probably like with what your boys do, you know, they finally get to entertain each other a little bit.
Do they fight just as much as regular siblings, even though they're the same age?
Oh my God. Well, I don't know. See, I have no other frame of reference, but they literally cannot be away from each other. So they have to fight constantly because they're always in each other's business. They never seem to leave each other alone.
Michael, this is the same thing that I've always wanted to ask people that have twins, and I'll do this live in person, but I want to do it here on the show for the benefit of everyone.
Okay.
What is the likelihood? Just give me either a percentage, an over-under, that your two daughters, right? You said twin girls?
No, actually, I have a boy and a girl.
A boy and a girl. Oh, dang it. I wanted them to be identical because I have a theory that those people get swapped every so often. What do you think are the chances that you swapped and missed and they put the boy and the girl?
If they were identical when they were little, that would have been a problem.
Yeah, right? That's what I feel like. You have to put a Sharpie tick on somebody's heel to make sure that you're talking to Atticus and not Andre, you know?
Oh, I've heard stories of parents that have done that kind of thing.
No, really? So they have? Do you know other people that have twins?
Yeah, I've known a few other people that have twins, and I've heard of them.
It's
doing
an exclusive
either cutting
club.
Hair differently or something, so they could tell which one's which.
Because when they're babies, how can you? That's what I always think. And here's the thing: I just feel like I hope that there are not parents that are out there that are ashamed of it. I just imagine that if I would be so, like you said, I can't remember the first 9 months. They're just in survival mode. So the kid really doesn't truly have a name. It's got a 50-50 shot of a name until they hit about 1 or 2-ish, is what I'm guessing. That's my assumption.
Oh yeah. Definitely.
Right? Because they're just babies. Do you work full time? What's your situation?
I do. I work full time.
And so your lady, was she a stay-at-home mom during this time, or does she also work?
Yes, she was a stay-at-home mom.
Why are you, is she right there with you? Or why do you sound afraid? Are you safe?
Well, I don't want to bring this. I don't want to bring your 100th episode down. But she actually left.
She bailed.
No, I don't think you understand how our marriages work. That's we're now you're yeah. bust down at all.
Are you kidding? You're our hero. Hold something, on, talk us through it.
Something to aspire to.
Let me get a pad and a pen, real quick.
It's bound to happen to both of us.
The stay-at-home wife life wasn't good enough for her, and she didn't want any more, so she left.
Oh, so you had to dump that bitch. That's a Lycus reference. You might get that in Vegas. Wasn't he out in Vegas too?
Oh, I'm sure.
You know the? Do you know the Tom Lycus, Michael?
Who?
All right, never mind. So when did she listen? You tell me if I'm prying, but I'm. I think myself and the listeners are interested. Is that when did she leave? Like, were you? How old were the kids?
They were just at like 3 years old.
Just
so only about a year ago.
A year ago, and you've lived in Vegas the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're going to bachelor it up, though, that's the place to be. That's what I would imagine. And so she leaves, and now do you guys do, like, the 1 week off, 1 week on thing, or is she, like, completely gone?
No, she moved in with her parents. They live in Utah. They're about a six-hour drive away, and before the kids go to school, we're alternating every 3 weeks.
Oh,
we'll
okay.
have them for 3 weeks, and she has them for 3 weeks.
And then once they start kindergarten, then it's like, well, we'll have to figure it out after that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, yeah, you can't go. My sister does that. She goes back and forth, and I feel sorry for her. I feel sorry for the kid. I mean, I'm sure that they're adjusted. I it's never been a thing where I talk to her about it. But that was the sad part about my mom bailing was that it required me to go to therapy when I got older. But the nice part was that I never had that trauma of going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, you know, where you felt like you were living two different lives. So that, I think, can be rough, I would imagine. But again, I have no perspective on
that. My guess is that plenty of people whose mothers stayed also needed therapy.
Yes, that's also true. So are you dating? What's it like to date as a single dad? I've had a lot of, maybe even you, have emailed in asking for a little bit of insight to being a single dad. Maybe there's a married guy listening right now, tuned in just to celebrate the 100th episode, but now you're giving him a way out, my friend. But what's it like to date as a single dad?
It's coming slowly. I mean, I was married for 10 years with her for like 12, so I'm super rusty.
Yeah. Oh,
and
man.
And the whole world's online and texting, and it's just like, you know, it's a whole different world now.
So is there, like, do you do the online dating, or what do you do? Do you go out to a bar? What's your situation, Michael?
Well, I don't have a lot of time. I work a lot. So I've been trying to do online and meet people through friends and stuff like that.
Okay, and Paco's going to step out. We have a guest coming in, so if you want to talk any shit about Paco, now would be the time to do it.
Well, it's gone real downhill ever since you brought him on. I'm not
right?
just saying.
Oh, this is so funny because he's not here. Right, it's really brought the energy down. I mean, that's why I wasn't worried with you talking about your wife bailing. It's like, listen, whatever you do, as Paco's just going to ruin anyway. Let's be honest with each other. I'll ask you this and then I will let you go, but I'm always curious about this is that people do write in and they say that the show helps keep them sane and all that. And I hope this doesn't sound narcissistic or that I'm fishing for a compliment, but I'm always curious is that what exactly is it that it does so that I can make sure to not change that, I guess is what I'm really asking for, is that for the sake of doing a focus group live on the air, like, is it just the fact that you feel like you're not alone?
It's exactly that. I mean, there's, and especially for first time, I mean, this was a first time parent and whatnot. And this, you know, you think back when you just had your one boy, mm-hmm. you know, at some point you feel like, you know, am I crazy? Is this really happening? This can't just be me. It can't just be my situation. And it does like shine that light that no, you know, many people have gone through this before. You know, your kid's really just an a-hole. That's just how that works.
You know what I like, too, is that you've been on the line with us for maybe 10 minutes, and I could hear your kids screaming in the background. And you are
I had to do the silent motion, like, just please. I'm you know, because they wait till you're on the phone.
Yeah.
They hold it in. They won't talk to you all day. they see you pick the phone up, and all of a sudden they want your
They need something. They need yogurt. They need some kind of goldfish situation. They all these things are important to them now. Michael, I want to ask you this, too, is do you have family nearby like that can help out with the kids?
I have my mother and stepdad, my dad, I have a sister and I've got cousins.
Oh, good.
But my dad's kind of like a your mom situation. I mean, I know him, but yes. I would never leave my kids with him.
That's hilarious. It's funny
at
because
so many levels. I feel like I, listening to over 100 episodes. I feel like I bonded there.
You should. It's funny. Joseph Bears is an actual friend of mine, and I've said it on the show before that when he comments, when I go to actually see him, we do a job together or something like that. He actually will say that he does it like we don't have to recheck in or refresh because he listens to the show, and so he kind of knows everything that's going on in my world and all that stuff. So no worries at all there. Well, here's the thing, Michael. I'm going to have – if there's a mom out there or, listen, dads that are listening, we need to get Michael laid. That's what I've decided. The man lives in Vegas. He's got two twins. He's been single for a year. I don't know if you're a spiritual man or not, Michael, but we're about to get you wet. You understand what I'm saying? So if you have a sister that – you know what I mean? Like if there's ever a time to take advantage of a slutty sister or a sister-in-law, now's the time. Send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com, and I will pass it along to Michael, and we can make this happen.
A loose girl next door, anything.
Right, anything. Yeah. A babysitter that's made a move on you, but you're like, no bueno. You know what I mean? Then throw her over towards Michael.
That's right.
That's what you do, Michael. That's a perfect idea. Go on Sitter City.
Oh, man.
All right, Michael. Well, we have a guest in the studio and we have another call on the line. So I'm going to let you go. But thank you so much for calling in and best of luck. And we're hopefully going to get you laid, my friend.
Excellent. Thanks, guys. Good to talk to you.
Take care. Bye. All right. Bye. Hello, sir. Oh, my gosh.
Sir.
So let's see. Wait, hold on. There he goes. He's gone. Now, I don't even know your name. Oh, hold on. Here, let's see. Let's turn this on. Boom. There. Now talk.
Juan Bedoya.
Juan Bedoya.
But you know what? I can hear you better than me.
Right. You can't hear you? Here, turn this up right there. Boom.
There we go. Little more.
Little more?
Little
Is that
more.
Good? That's good?
Yeah, let me see. 1, 2, 3. Yes, not bad. Okay.
Clearly, the apple does not fall far from the tree. So we are here talking to Paco's father, Juan Bedoya. Is that what we're going to?
Juan Bedoya, yes, that's right.
Juan Bedoya. Now, here's
Bedoya,
the thing.
Bedoya.
Yeah. If this is a character, I don't know it. You understand? I've never had a conversation with this guy. So if he's coming in, is this really how your father talks?
Well, just talk to him, man.
You bastards, both of you.
You've got to believe your ears, you know.
I do believe my ears. And now I'm talking like you. And that makes me more racist, I believe. Do me a favor, Adam. Turn the fan on there because it's getting sexy with all this hotness. You see where the switch
is on the dial?
You hit the... I think the 2 or the 3 on the outer ring, if you don't mind, sir. I haven't had a chance to get the remote one. If you need a tissue, feel free to help yourself. Juan Bedoya.
I'm just looking.
So we have a call waiting on the line. So let's take a call, and then we'll dig deeper into Juan Bedoya. And maybe you can also weigh in. Bedoya? I'm saying it wrong?
Bedoya.
Bedoya.
I've pissed off many a gardener in my day. So please
Careful,
don't.
I may be a gardener.
You yeah, listen. I hope you are. There we go. I'm just going to end that sentence there. All right. Let's see who this is calling us. It's uploading. All right, caller, you're on the air. Please state your name.
I'm Josh.
Hello, Josh. How are you?
Josh, are you sure your name is not Michael or some derivation?
No, that's it.
What's your middle name, Josh?
Steven.
Oh, well, close. We're close. Yeah. All right, Josh, so you're here, and we wanted this to be an opportunity for the listeners to, you know, share their voice on the show. So whatever you want to say to us or talk to us, you be the one to springboard us here. So go.
All right, well, you know, I'm not a dad. I was kind of a stepdad for 5 years. I lived with one, but I love what you guys do. You guys keep me from pulling into oncoming traffic on the way to work every day.
Oh, wow.
Because I hate my job.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that. But
so, wait, I just want to backpedal. So you are not a father. Did you say you were a stepdad?
Yes.
I lived with a woman for 6 years, and she had kids that were not mine.
Uh-huh.
But she lies, and she moved, so... Yeah,
wow.
I don't see them anymore, unfortunately.
Oh, wow.
Who would have thought that my audience would have so many chicks leaving? I don't understand. Evidently, this is a vein that I need to tap into more. We need to get make it a dateline of some kind to
right.
find some chicks that... So I'm curious. You were a stepdad for 5 years. You no longer have children, and yet you still enjoy listening to the show just to harken back to those days?
Well, you know, it's... I lived a lot of that because when we were together, her youngest was, he had just turned 2, and her oldest was 4. So, I mean, I've done the potty training. I've done the everything, really, you can think of.
And you were,
I don't see him anymore, but, you know, that is what it is.
You were with her for how long?
5.5 years.
So those kids really grew up with you during some pretty intense developmental times.
Well, it was really funny because the oldest one was just like his mother, but... The little one, he was an asshole like me.
Well, you made your mark, Josh, and that's all that matters.
I did. Exactly. I feel like I did my job.
It's the same as passing your seat along. That's all we're trying to do.
It's actually less expensive than passing your
seat
along.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, there's no child support involved.
But so
I win.
Were you guys married at all? Did you, like, technically adopt these kids, or?
You know... We thought about it, but I'm glad I didn't, looking back on it now.
Right, yeah.
My mom warned me in the beginning, you know, don't fall for it. And I should have listened. I should have cut that shit about 4 years earlier, but it happened
how
it happened.
You should always listen to your mother. You should never listen to my mother.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Does Juan Bedoya agree with that? He's laughing.
I'm taking it very seriously.
Oh, I apologize.
What this man says. I'm sorry. No, he was doing step body training and things like that.
No, but I was saying that Paco here was saying that you should never listen to his mother, and I couldn't help but notice that you chuckled.
He reminds me a little bit of my son.
Oh, you guys are not related.
No, no, no. But,
man, this is getting into Inception levels here. I think I'm on the third tier. I don't know if the top is spinning or what's happening, Josh. You are going to be my touchstone, all right? Tell me if I'm in a dream.
Oh, Lord.
Josh, where are you calling?
Let me share with you my favorite moment that you never have to deal with.
Oh, okay, let me do that.
I'm a half Cuban man, okay? I'm dark skinned. I've got dark hair.
Sexy.
The ex was very fair skinned and light haired, and as were the kids. And one day we decided I had to go to the grocery store. She was at work. The other one was in school, so I had the little one with me.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted a toy and threw a big fit when I wouldn't buy him one and then started screaming bloody murder. You've got this little fair-skinned white boy screaming, and the big Cuban man picking him up and taking him to the car.
Yeah.
I was sure I was going to jail. I was going to jail for kidnapping.
You're the male Cuban nanny is what you're doing.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
Did you get weird looks, or was it all in your head? Because I have that a lot. Like, I'll snap at my kids while I'm putting them in the car, and then I kind of realize, oh, there are people around like that. I better watch what I'm doing here. Did anybody give you funny looks?
I think it was all in my head.
Yeah.
I was at Walmart, so I mean, I was kind of feel bad.
None of those people care about their children there.
It's the least anyone has to be concerned about at Walmart.
Well, kudos to you, sir. Thank you so much for calling in, and feel free to call in anytime, Josh. Thanks for listening.
Love to hear from you again,
thanks
Josh.
Thanks for doing what you guys do.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Take care.
Take care.
So we have another caller already. We might be rolling calls this entire time.
Hang
on. You want to hang on? You want to? Okay, caller, hold on for a second. We're going to get to know Juan Bedoya.
They can still hear us. Before we even move on to Juan Bedoya.
Okay. I apologize.
That's okay. It's stuck in your head. I actually wanted to make an apology to you and the listeners.
Oh.
This is left over from last week. And I realize I sort of let everybody down, and I just wanted to be clear.
Are you going
to
cry?
No, I'm not, but you'll probably be crying before.
Oh, no, don't make me cry in the 100th episode. Can't we do this in 101? I just met Juan Bedoya. He's clearly a Latin man of masculinity. You know what I mean? He's wearing a flannel shirt, for fuck's sake. And he's going to meet me, and then you're going to make me cry in front of him?
No, it's okay. You'll probably be able to hold it together.
Right.
I just wanted to say that I feel like I let everybody down last week. I went back and re-listened to the Dr. J.
Yes.
Podcast, and as we were doing it, I had a thought in my head, and I talked myself out of it. And then when I listened to it again, I realized that I had missed a very important opportunity
mm-hmm.
when he was talking about the disease-filled nature of community pools.
Oh.
And talking about hoof and mouth disease and
yes.
and whatever it is you're going to get there. I missed the opportunity to mention water fountain AIDS. And I want to apologize to everybody for not having made a call back to the That's previous right. spot because I talked myself out of it because I knew it would need to be explained to him.
Yeah.
And then you would laugh like that. And then I went,
okay.
you know what?
That was good.
So I will never let you folks down again. I saw that. I go, God, I should have just said something about water fountain AIDS.
Listen, we have a responsibility. We've had three calls, and each of them have said that we keep them from driving into oncoming traffic in some way, shape, or form.
Exactly.
And it's this kind of bullshit that ain't going to fly here, Paco.
I'm sorry. Right? I won't let it happen.
We're going to have to raise the bar, you know. Let's not keep this going. All right, now you want to go back to calls, or you want to talk to
Juan? Juan for a little bit.
Juan
longer.
Bedoya.
There you go. Yes,
Bedoya is your last name.
What would I give you two first names?
Listen, I don't know your culture. I don't know what you do. Honestly, I don't know. And so you are of no relation to Paco.
Not
are
at
you
all,
his stepfather?
No, my son is much more handsome than that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Good-looking boy, my son.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your son do for a living? Like, what is he?
He became an architect.
He did. So
yes.
good money.
Yes.
Yeah.
He went to the escuela, and he went to college also, and uh-huh. he became an architect.
Okay.
He takes care of all of us.
All of you.
Because the rest of us never went anywhere.
Oh, really? Yeah. He's the first college graduate in the family.
He was the oldest boy, and then we put all the money in him, uh-huh. and the other kids who work at the Wendy's.
Oh. How many other children do you have?
I have a total of four children, uh-huh. and three grandchildren.
Whoa, three yeah. grandchildren already.
Already, yeah.
Now, are those, what's your son's name?
My son's name is Raul.
Raul. Now,
the one who's the architect.
Yeah, the architect. Does he have the three grandchildren, or is he career oriented?
No, it's mixed up with the daughter and the son.
Okay.
Between them, they got three grandsons I have.
So what are your thoughts on parents today? Juan Bedoya.
Well,
can I just call you Juan or Mr. Bedoya, or what would you prefer? Señor Bedoya?
How about Your Highness or something?
Wow. Okay,
I'm
easy
joking.
There.
I like the joke. It's an American joke.
An American joke.
No, Juan is fine.
Okay, Juan.
No, I believe it's the most important thing you can achieve as a person. To grow up by yourself and do everything for yourself is selfish.
Yeah.
And I think you can have a family, have a wife, mm-hmm. hopefully in the other order. But
so you're not for the bastard children out of wedlock. You're not a fan.
Not at all. Although I myself was born out of wedlock.
Is that why? Do you come from a broken home and you don't want that to happen again?
A broken family. I broke it myself.
Oh.
Yes.
So you were the reason your parents split up?
That's right.
Wow.
I was the reason.
Heavy.
I was put into an orphanage.
They didn't take you in the split?
No, I was in. They crossed over from Texas. I was uh-huh. in Texas in an orphanage.
You were in Texas in an orphanage,
That's
and
a,
they were back in
yeah.
Mexico? Is that
Well, we originally came from Guatemala, but we...
Guatemala, migrated, same difference.
You know, they moved all around South America and Central America.
Okay.
They were gypsies, basically.
Okay.
You know?
I'm really getting scared that this is real. I have to just keep coming back to this.
No.
I'm really petrified.
Raising children and giving them the values of the community, not to do anything wrong, don't uh-huh. get arrested if you can help it.
I believe all of that, but you understand what I'm saying is that because I've never met you before, Juan, all I've been invited to is 15 minutes before this man that you know that brought you here.
Yeah.
15 minutes before he gets in the car to go play pool with you, he says, "Would you like to join?" And I say, "I cannot. I need a little bit more notice than that."
Yeah.
And so
I don't know him that well. He's a coyote, actually.
He brought he smuggled you to the orphanage?
No, he brought me into Burbank.
Oh, to Burbank.
From Texas, yeah.
Yeah, from Texas. That's an improvement, though, right?
But the nanny brought me here, and I'm very, very happy about it.
You like this? You like being on the radio?
I like to do this, a blogcast or whatever.
A podcast.
Podcast,
yeah.
I don't know the technological things about
it. No, that's okay. Listen,
I'm not a techie.
You're an advanced man in years, and so it's technology.
My grandchildren, don't have Spanish names.
No, they have regular names.
The new generation, they give them American names.
They're completely
One is
American.
Mark. Mm-hmm. Mark.
You don't like that? You want him to go Marco?
Well, that's better. Mm-hmm. But they call him Mark, and then they call the other one Jack. And the little one is...
I have a Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Do you like Jack?
Very American.
What is the Latin equivalent of Jack?
I don't
know. Giacchito?
I don't know. In Italian, it's Giacomo.
Giacomo.
But
wait, are you Italian? And I thought you were...
You said you were
from Guatemala.
No, I have an Italian friend. He told me. Told me I have one Italian friend.
By the way, we lost our caller.
Well, I can drive them away anytime you want. No, it's Mark and Jack, my two boys, and the really little one is Skippy.
Oh, that was my nickname in elementary school, yeah, from the Family Ties kid.
Yeah, that's his nickname.
Skippy. He doesn't.
No, Skippy.
Skippy is his real name.
No, Skippy is his birth name.
Birth name.
Yeah, they named him Skippy.
That was. Do they like peanut butter? Or what's their story?
I don't know.
Do they have a nickname for him?
They like to skip a little. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. Do they have a nickname for him? That's a good question, Paco.
It's hard to make a nickname for Skippy.
Right?
What are you going to call it?
Skip? Maybe.
Difficult.
So you came to this country. Well, here's what I wanted to get at, is that I wanted to ask, well, like, because a long time ago, I was fortunate enough to do an episode for Father's Day with my father and my grandfather.
Oh, wow.
My grandfather, as I mentioned earlier, he's a redneck dude, or was a redneck dude, and was just a funny character. Like the... He always reminded me of the cookie character in the old westerns. You know what I mean? Yeah. That guy who had the four like fingers on one hand.
Gabby Hayes.
Yes, Gabby Hayes. He would kind of talk like this a little bit, and then his laugh was like, that's how he would laugh.
And I'm just surprised. I want to stop and just point out that you actually knew Gabby Hayes. That was your reference. And
yes,
that's very impressive.
But you connected the dots for me. Here's the thing: I knew who Gabby Hayes was because my grandfather would not allow me to watch Star Trek. He said that crap's not real. But he would put on a Gene Autry Western any guy in a bright colored shirt rides into town singing on the back of his horse is just going to be welcomed with open arms in the Wild West.
Absolutely.
That is historically accurate.
That is good science.
There's no fiction about it.
You know, before I came here, I was in Mexico. I was in the show business.
You were?
I worked in the nightclubs, and I was an impressionist.
Oh.
And frankly, you'll be surprised. I can do Gabby Hayes.
You could do Gabby Hayes. Let's hear some Gabby Hayes.
Well, Roy, there ain't no Indian around here. We got to get ourselves on the wagon and get out of here. Let me just put my teeth in. I'll kiss you.
Wow, Gabby Hayes.
Actually in the room.
Like he was here.
Exactly.
I like that you completely ditched the accent when you did that.
It's like the Beatles, you know, when they sang, they sounded less.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
That's what an impressionist can do. He changes his voice around.
I don't do voices. I got to be honest with you. I've done voiceover acting, but I don't do voices. That's not my. I just give him these dulcet tones. That's all I bring to the table.
7 years in the nightclubs, I can only do Gabby Hayes.
I was going to say, do you have another impression? But I didn't know.
I have the impression I'm not good.
Oh, sorry. I was checking to see if our caller had called back. Well, what I was trying to get into was that in this episode, my grandfather said, I thought he was just going to tell funny stories about growing up on a farm. But what I asked him to kind of sum it up. I said, well, what do you think about parenting today? What are your opinions? And my assumption was that he was going to say something to the effect of, you know, oh, they need to beat their kids, or, you know, kids don't have enough jobs or whatever. But what he actually very sincerely said was that I don't know how they do it today as parents. Like, I don't know if I could do it at all. But he said, when I was a kid growing up, we didn't know what the person down the road had because they were a mile and a half away. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have television. You had the radio, but that was about it. You didn't know what was going on. He said, kids today are just constantly bombarded with advertising and you know, this is what you want. This is what you need. This is what you
want. They not only know what the kid next door or down the way is, they know what the kid on the other side of the country and the other side of the world has.
Exactly. And so it was interesting for me to hear him weigh in on this, you know, very, in my opinion, like advanced media theory concept, you know, for a guy who I don't think even graduated high school. And so that's what I guess I was kind of getting at, is that what is your opinion, Juan, about parents today and children?
I'm a little different from most people or Spanish people, Hispanics, because I let the wife make all the decisions.
Oh.
Usually it's very macho, you know, the man makes the decisions, and he sometimes might beat the boys or something if they're doing something wrong. But I left my wife make every decision.
So you weren't involved in the upbringing of the children?
I just sat there in a chair, that's all. They could talk to me if they wanted to.
A new hero. A new hero.
They could talk to you.
Yeah, television saved my life.
Oh, really? Yeah, because it gave you something to do.
But they knew the mother would be the disciplinarian.
Oh, really? Were you the nice guy then?
I was a lot nicer than her. She used to discipline me sometimes, too.
Oh, really?
If I was doing something wrong.
Like physically, or she would just hold out on you?
Sometimes she
sexually?
Would whack me, you know?
Oh, he hit
How
you
say in English, whack me.
Whack you?
Yeah.
But not as the Italians mean.
Right, not your Giacomo friend. That's not the same. No, that's very different.
She would give
different
me a swat on the there ear, you know, cuff my ears, they say.
Oh, box you in the ears.
Boxing in my ears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My dad was a big fan of that.
Sugar Ray Leonard was my favorite.
Sugar Ray Leonard was your favorite ear boxer?
Favorite boxer, yeah.
Yeah. Why is that?
He was a good boxer. Why? Well, because he was a good boxer.
Oh, just because,
And he had an opponent he would box his ears. And his nose and his chin as well.
So then what do you think of today's trend of there being more and more husbands and fathers being the primary caregivers, you know, being more stay-at-home dads than there ever were before?
Oh, I pity them. I mean... I don't know how they can do it without a wife to make all the decisions.
Right.
No, that doesn't sound right to
that
me.
That doesn't sound good to you.
I could never have done that.
So not because you don't think it's an emasculating thing. You think that it's an overwhelming thing, just sheer decisions.
It's going to kill you.
What was the last decision you remember making? Do you have a...
I happen to remember it.
Oh, okay.
Coming here.
You decided?
That's the last thing I remember deciding.
To come here. Well, you didn't check in with the lady.
In the context of your marriage, what was the last thing you remembered deciding?
She wanted to get a boob job.
Ah.
And generally, I went along with everything.
So, you were anti-boob job.
Well, I didn't want to do it, but she very much wanted to do it, so we compromised. She got one boob done.
Why were you against the boob job? You thought it would, you know, that thing where they say if you buy a boob job, you're buying it for another man? Is that what you thought was going to happen? Or
I never heard that one, but I just thought, you know, I always liked her the way she was. She had very sagging breasts by this time with four children.
Yeah.
That was fine with me.
You like sagging breasts.
I didn't mind it that much.
It matched everything that was sagging on you.
Yeah, we had a couch. You should see the couch. Everything was sagging, and the springs were coming through the couch.
Why not get a new couch? You guys hadn't found IKEA?
Well, you know, I went to my architect's son for money, but he wouldn't give me any.
Oh, he draws the line at the couch?
He draws the line. He doesn't want to give any money.
I thought he takes care of all you guys, no?
Well, begrudgingly, he might give us something, you know, that we need, like important, like with the heating bill or something.
Okay.
But in general, you know, I can't hit him up for something like
Not a couch. Well, Raul's got no time for a couch.
They taught him well. Old things are good things.
Oh, okay.
Stay with the old things.
Like they had spent all their money on the boob.
Oh, yeah. Boob and his college education. Did he put himself through college, this Raul?
No, we contributed to him, and I used to...
This son of a bitch. You pay for his college, you get him where he is, and then
listen,
he doesn't...
He
can't kick down for a $400 ectorp for you?
I cut him off to my will. He's not even in the will anymore.
I got to be honest with you, Juan. When this whole thing started, I thought you and Raul were like best buds, but now it seems like you guys are at each other's throats.
No, he's just, I don't know, he got full of himself.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he
architectural does architecture. Yeah, well,
you know, college, it will give you new ideas about your big head like that, you know.
Yeah.
So I just sit at home and watch the boob tube with my wife.
The boob tube? Is that what you call her, one boob?
No, that's what they call the TV.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry.
We never did get the operation.
Okay. Hold on, Paco has a question.
Yes, I do have a question with regards to your sort of coming from maybe a more traditional parenting perspective. How do you feel about the way Raul is treating you?
Well, be honest, I resent it.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I've cut him away, and I have no son. Mm. I talk about him here on the air because this is just between the three of us.
Right. This doesn't go anywhere beyond this room.
Right.
But I have other children. They're very nice to me, and sometimes they will give me a dollar or two if I need something, but not for a boob job.
What do the other kids do for a living?
One is a, what you call a greeter in a restaurant.
Hostess?
Say hello to people.
Yeah.
Another one is a mechanic.
Mm-hmm. That's a good honest living.
And the other one lives at home.
Lives at home with you?
Yeah.
Is that the youngest?
No, he's the oldest, actually. No, oh. The oldest is the architect, of course. Yeah. It's the next
oldest. The next oldest, yeah.
The next oldest. He lives at home. He's 33.
And you like that?
No.
Yeah, no, he does. You can't, right? Does your wife like that? Does she make that decision?
She likes keeping him there. Yeah. You know? She's
afraid of the empty desk.
Yeah, she infantilizes him.
Excuse me?
Infantilizes
him. Infantilize. I'm going to need a translation on that one,
well,
Paco.
She treats him like a child.
Oh.
And that then encourages more childlike behavior. And then creates an atmosphere where she gets to continue to be a mother.
See, people who are not so gifted with the English language, such as you, Juan, would say baby him. That's what we would say. Would they baby him?
Well, I've been
but you're saying infantilizes him with the root of the word being infant.
Infant, yes.
Ah.
Oh, yes. Yes. I've been in therapy for 3 years, so I learned a lot of words.
You learned a lot of words.
Psychoanalysis.
Oh. Wait, so in what reference did you pick up infantilize?
Well, you know, we were talking about my son,
boy.
Yeah, Raul, and he said, well, perhaps you infantilized him. And I said, come again, please. Yeah. What the hell is that?
Yeah.
And he said, well, you treat him like an infant. And I think the mother spoiled him.
Yeah, spoiled him.
Yeah.
So that's another good word.
She keeps him like a child.
I know. So now your kids are grown up, other than the one who lives at home. But do you still just not make decisions? Is it like
it's always in my wife's hands?
Okay. So what kind of things this like? I'm just curious. Are you retired?
Yes, I am.
Walk me through your day. What happens as a retired father? Many dads listening would look forward to this day.
Yes.
I would imagine of being.
I'm
retired.
Already retired, basically.
Yeah, basically.
I will wake up with the birds.
Oh, you wake up early.
With the birds.
Okay.
And then I will have my breakfast and take a walk in the neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
And then I will come back and have some more breakfast, a little more breakfast, if there's any left over. Uh-huh. Then I will watch a couple of game shows.
What are your favorites?
It's hard to pick. I like them all so
you like,
much.
You like, so you're a fan of the Game Show Network?
Yeah. That.
Okay.
And then late, a lunch.
You're right in the Target demo.
Another walk and a little more lunch. And then I watch the Desperate Housewives of all the cities.
Oh, what?
Yes.
That's where you break the demo. You go Bravo.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
And you know
why do you like that?
I consider them an embarrassment of bitches.
All right, now
I
you're
mean,
back
they're crazy, but you're like, you can't
you're
stop.
You're watching it ironically.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You can't stop looking at them. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
You don't get to see people fight like that all the time.
Yeah.
Unless you're at my house.
It's interesting. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's a bit of a busman's holiday.
I know. I don't get that reference at all.
That's all right. I'll explain it later.
That's just for you and Juan.
Well, perhaps you've been infantilized.
Perhaps, my friend. Hardcore infantilized. When it comes to my education, I think definitely. Either that or my father spoke more with his hands than he ever did with his mouth.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
You understand? I had more of a... I was raised by redneck wolves, is the way I like to put it. He was a very loving man, but loved in a hardcore kind of way. Like,
you're a little late with the father talk because it was Father's Day recently, not too long ago.
What did you do for Father's Day, can I ask?
I got up, I had breakfast, I took a walk.
In the woods?
No.
Did you come back for second
my
breakfast?
My other boys came back to visit.
Oh, so yeah. Everybody. So
not
had...
Raul, but the
oh,
the
so he
two.
Didn't even, did he call?
No, he didn't call. He doesn't call.
Ever?
No.
See, this is crazy to me.
I wrote him, took him out of the will.
This is crazy to me because I don't understand how this can happen, that you can take care of him, provide him with an education, and then have it still, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's insane to me. How can...
Well, as the Spanish say, he's a prick. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
I
understand.
Turned out well.
I understand prick perfectly.
It's the same in any language.
That is the universal term of infantilizing, I believe. Hold on. I'm trying to figure out. We've somehow dropped the call to our thing. Here, I'm going to hit pause real quick. Okay, we've unpaused. Oh, wait. Did I? Yeah, I did pause. Okay, good. What were we talking about? We were talking about what you did for Father's Day. Raul didn't call. Oh, that's right. How do you wrestle with this idea that you provided this education? You're responsible for his entire high quality lifestyle. That was a horrible idea. What I just did, I just unplugged their headphones, trying to help.
All right. There you go.
I'm back again.
Yeah, thank you. And, so how, like, to me, I would be furious.
You know what? Let it go. Let go of it.
Why?
It's past. I don't hold on to the past. You're going to get the cancer from this.
What?
Yeah, but you're holding on to your anger. You're furious on my behalf.
I think it's excessive coffee drinking, not angry. Yeah, you're right. I do get angry on a lot of people's behalves, but I don't think it's excessive rage that causes cancer. I think, like, you know, it's either eating too many blueberries or... No, they do. They have, like, 87 different things that can cause cancer. It's high fructose corn syrup.
88. They just...
Oh, they just added one in this conversation, right? So,
well, maybe you'll only get ulcers, you know.
Oh, definitely.
Or a heart attack. You get a bad heart.
So far, I've just got gray hair. That's so far what I've managed to bring to the table.
But I love the point that he's making, which is just that at a certain point when you can't control something, just let go.
This makes me feel like I might be a control freak because what you're saying does not, no comprende.
Right.
You understand, Juan?
It gives you no sense of peace at all.
No, not at all. Yeah. Like, how is that possible? I am a guy who digs his feet in the ground and says, this is the way. This, and for, like, I would do nothing but, at the least, I would find a way to ruin his life.
Yeah.
You know, at the very least.
You know something? I'm about to walk out of here because.
Really? You know, am I making you angry?
You're too intense for me.
I'm sorry.
Let it go. Let it fucking go.
Whoa. He dropped an F-bomb. All right. I apologize, Juan. I apologize. That's on me, not you. Let's all just
we're talking about
in
fathers.
With the peach, out with the green. And, we can get back to father
to
talk.
To sum it up, I must say, I think fatherhood is a wonderful thing, and motherhood is also. Both hoods are nice.
You like both hoods?
And we live in a hood, so.
Oh, you like the neighborhood, you like the fatherhood, the motherhood.
The motherhood, but not the older sonhood.
No, yeah. No. Screw that kid.
But I forgive him. You know what I mean?
Let it go.
I have a largesse, you know?
A what?
Largesse.
Yeah, the largest one I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my wife has a largesse. But the point is this. I mean, as I'm understanding.
You know what I didn't know I was getting into when I said, let's make Paco the permanent host? You know what did not enter my mind? The 300% increase in wordplay. You understand? I did not foresee. I'm not mad about it. I'm not disappointed in it.
Right, right.
I'm just saying it was not something that I foresaw. You understand?
You didn't sign up for that.
No. I still don't know what a largesse is.
Look it up. Well, I was gonna use another word. Being magnanimous, being open-hearted, big, generous.
Largesse? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Largesse.
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 ESSE. Largesse.
Largesse. Like,
largesse.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have
took
more...
some adult education classes once I was in this country.
Oh, I thought you were telling me to take some.
No,
I'm sorry.
No, you can take them too.
That too.
Like. I studied wit, irony.
Uh-huh.
Parody,
uh-huh.
and puns. I have a minor in that.
You and Paco, boy howdy.
Minor in puns,
boy howdy.
Well, I ran into him on the street. That's what drew us together.
We were kidding
around with each other.
Yeah, did he tell you about my famous play on his words? It wasn't quite a pun.
I don't remember.
But I think you might get a kick out of this one. Juan, is that there was we had a week here that there were cops showing up consistently in the neighborhood, like, and not just driving by, checking to make sure nobody was running over children or, you know, the usual thing. They were knocking on doors and asking where so-and-so is. Then they went to talk to his son and said, have you seen this man before? Had a photo. So he was texting me because he was at his ever presence at the AMC Burbank.
with Luna.
Luna taking in whatever new release that he refuses to watch the trailers or the first 5 minutes of. And so he says, can you help me in taking care of my child, essentially, is what he's saying.
Yeah,
so
I'm not there to be a father. Can you
right,
do
can
it
you
for
step
me?
In for me?
Yeah.
And I was in the middle of just, you know, he's enjoying the movie. He's very busy. I was in the middle of renovating my backyard and buying mulch and building planters. And
doing nothing, basically.
Basically. I was twiddling my thumbs, you know, in every sense of the word. And so I come back, and there was no cops there. So I told him, I would try to find out. He happens to run into me on my eighth trip to Lowe's that day. He's cruising by in his Prius, and he goes, hey, whatever happened? Did you find out what was going on with the cops? I said, they weren't there. I don't know. And he said, well, I will have to consult my local constabulary. And I said, yeah, and I would call the cops, too, just to be safe. Right? That's pretty solid. That's a solid joke. Juan, you approve?
Absolutely.
That's a very long trip to get to the end
of
it.
Wow.
It took me less time to get across the border.
All right. Okay, Juan. All right. I see what you're saying.
But see, he's all Justin is all about
this. The, also, is not something that I anticipated. You understand?
Signed up for.
I did not.
He's about the journey, not necessarily.
Has he seen the logo? Has he seen the logo of the show? It says Justin Worsham's the Dad Pod. I pay the mortgage on this on this studio here. There is $500 plus an acoustic foam on the walls. I'll have you know, Juan.
Very attractive.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. People called in and said I saved their lives. I've saved their marriage with this show.
That's great.
And that, but you're ridiculing me. I make my living telling jokes, and you said it's a long way to go, is what I'm saying. Well, that's what I'm getting at.
You luckily saved a few lives. No, but
I got to be honest. I'm starting to see Raul's side in this whole thing. I mean, you're quasi-abrasive.
Careful, you may be out of the wheel also.
You don't play your cards
right. Listen, I don't know what's going on there, but so far as I could figure, your assets consist of one large upright breast and a sunken-in couch and a lapsed heating bill. So I think I can handle not being in that will.
That's my resume just mentioned.
It sounds about like my in-laws' will is what it is. It's like, honey, we've worked our entire lives to leave you this mortgage. You're welcome.
Which you're also out of, probably.
Right? No. The wife keeps me in that will, unfortunately. But it's not a will. It's a, like, I wish. Here's the thing.
Won't.
I'm about to, yes, I won't take it, is that I'm about to find out when they both pass, and hopefully it will just be my mother-in-law first. That's all that I think we all can pray for. If there is anyone listening of any religious faith, you know, come after the 4th of July, just throw a shout out that my mother-in-law dies before my father-in-law, because if there is a God, that will happen. And but because they want to leave us this thing, but it's a house that is upside down in its mortgage, and that's what they're looking. Not my father-in-law. He's like, whatever. He knows what it is. But my mother is like, you're like, treats as if it's this amazing thing. You know?
Right. He's already in what they call it, a reverse mortgage.
Yes, he is.
Right.
He is. Except for, I think that a while ago, he wanted to do a reverse mortgage. But because my wife does home loans, she was like, no, it's not a good time now. Now it's not the time. It was like they still, you know, it was a while ago. And anyway, but now because they're upside down, I don't even think they could qualify.
I don't think they would either.
For a reverse mortgage. No. And then they also did this thing recently.
Maybe
where
a sideways or a U-turn.
Or I think they just call that a foreclosure. I think it's really what they're looking at. But then my favorite thing is that my wife does real estate for a living. She called. She called a real estate agent to have them come and price the house. And the lady said, I think I could get you $15,000 for your house. Now, mind you, they're making a minimum payment of $700, and they can barely make that happen.
Wait,
and
hang on a second. Yeah. $15,000?
Yes.
They live in a house that's worth $15,000.
In a sense. Like she said, I think I could get you $15,000. But Natalie doesn't think they could even get that. Like that's not even on the table at all. Like, because they're upside down, basically.
Oh, I see. Okay.
They have no equity. Like,
right. I'm imagining a tool shed, but it's an actual house.
It's a house with a pool, and it's horrible. Like, you'd have to almost gut it, and you know.
But
to,
by the time they would be said and done with everything, they'd walk
the lady
away
who wants to make a commission off of a sale, is telling them that she could get them $15,000 cash. And what my favorite part about this is, and these are this again. When I say them, I'm really just talking about my mother-in-law. It's unfairly directed at my, I don't understand why I do that. But my mother-in-law has offered to give us financial advice. Like, you understand? And she's the one going, $15,000, that could change a lot of things. And my wife pointed out to her, well, you're going to move into an apartment that's going to cost you $1,000 a month. So this $15,000 is going to save you a year and a half, maybe.
Right. It would change a lot of things because you would be destitute very soon.
Right. And then trying to move into this very studio, which will never happen.
Like your mother-in-law and father-in-law have the same marital relationship that
Juan.
Sorry, I was thinking of somebody else.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
You're thinking of the other one. That
there we go.
The guy who was here last week.
You know what? I'm about to host a second podcast. Wordplay with Paco and Juan.
In two languages. That she's your mother-in-law making all those decisions and he just sits idly by?
What my father-in-law has decided as a husband is that he has decided, in the waning years of his life, when he's this is going to sound really morbid, but that in probably what is the remaining 10 years of his life, that he has decided now is the time to put his foot down. Like he is.
Oh my God.
That up until this point, he has taken it and taken it and taken it. And he goes, you know what? I've been saving it up for these last 10 years. And now I'm saying, knock it off. And that's why the phone starts ringing and they start asking for money to us.
How is that working for him?
It's going really well, actually. She called us for money because he separated their money. Like, it was a long time ago I found out that she couldn't live there if it wasn't for him because she never worked. My favorite moment that he ever snapped was when it was a holiday or something, and randomly he was leaving to go to the grocery store, and she was complaining about something.
Yeah.
And he goes, I woke up for 10 years at 5 in the morning and went and worked in the hot sun in construction. And then I would sit in traffic all the way home. I would work for 10-hour days plus. And then I'd come home and I'd make dinner. And then I'd go to bed and wake up 5 hours later and do it again. Did you ever hear me bitch once? No. She hasn't done shit this entire time. And all she does is bitch. And now he's saying this just to the entryway in his house. There's nobody in the room.
To whom?
To no one. He's just to the ether. To the ether. Like, he's just casting it out for the... And I'm sure he knew that we all could hear. And I was sitting there going, amen, brother. Amen. Because, I've only been around... At that point, it was only 3 years of this. But I could see the writing on the wall. And so he was on his way out the door, and then unfortunately he was overcome by a stroke, and so now he's stuck there again. Which again makes me feel like there is no God. There just can't be.
One outburst, and now he's just
been punished.
Slumped in a chair.
How does that make sense to you? Like,
could you maybe give me his phone number, because it seems like he has a solution to this business? Letting the wife.
I was
going to
ask.
Decisions.
I was going to ask Juan if how he thinks his wife would take it if he put his foot down.
Yeah, what would happen?
I think she would be very surprised.
Yeah?
Yeah, she would.
You think she would like it?
I don't know. I think she would leave. Go someplace.
Really?
Leave with her daughter.
I think that's what a lot of guys think. But I kind of think deep down inside, a lot of women want to be told what to do.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead and tell Luna what
you
to do.
You want me to break that down?
I'll be over here.
Listen, I will break that ice for you. I will break
that. Now, in the bedroom, is she also still in charge, or do you take charge there?
Oh,
no, she is still in charge, but you know something? I kind of enjoy that. I'm a bottom, you know? I like to be on the bottom.
Less work, right?
She rides me like a horse.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
Like, is she also Latin?
Like a stolen horse.
No, yeah. She's Norwegian. Of course she's Latin.
I honestly didn't know. Well, is it true what they say about the Latin women, that they're people of passion?
They're very fiery.
Yeah. And because of, like, the salsa, I have a theory that because of the salsa dancing, they do a lot of things with their pelvis.
Something like that.
Yeah? So there's a lot of gyrating and shaking going on?
Yeah, extremely fiery.
Are you familiar with Shakira?
I don't know her work.
Oh, okay. No. She's a pop star from Latin, where she has Latin, got her start in Latin music, and now she does a lot of belly dancing and hip shaking.
I think my children know her.
Yeah. You might want to check it out.
I know Miley Cyrus, that's all.
You only know she's before Miley Cyrus, Shakira.
Well, I know. But everything was before Miley Cyrus. I learned this because my wife likes Miley. She's always twerking in the house.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, you lucky bastard. You don't want to put your foot down if she's twerking and riding you.
No, not on her twerk, certainly.
Yeah, right?
No, she's very into show business.
A lady advanced in her years. Does that twerk have a delay, you understand? Like a reverb almost on it?
Well, there's creaking going on.
Oh, there is creaking.
Kind of creaking from the bones.
Uh-huh.
But it's her version of sexy.
Has she ever thrown out a hip?
I don't think so.
No?
She doesn't have real hips anymore.
Real hips?
They're replacement hips.
Both of them. My mom, too. My mom's
she threw
about
out
to have her
the
second
old ones.
She threw them out?
She threw out the original ones.
Like a bionic woman.
That's right.
Yeah, it may have only helped.
You know, if I was in your shoes, I would say to my male friends that I'm the reason that she has to wear those bionic hips, you understand? Like, I threw it out of with my passion.
Yeah, I'm philosophic, I let it go. Everything you let go. I'm never going to.
Is that philosophic or just Buddhist? I feel like it's Buddhist. Isn't that kind of a Buddhist mentality?
It probably is, but I don't know what is a Buddhist.
A Buddhist is like, they're bald Asian men that don't believe in possessions, and they find a level of Zen. Like a peace in life.
Peace in life.
They do like a. Here's a thing.
It sounds like he's got quite a peace in life.
I know, right? Yeah. Exactly, with that twerking.
Yeah.
They, right.
Like an example, they do this. I can't remember. I want to say it's called, I want to say Mancala, but that sounds like that Chinese game with the marbles. I don't think that's right. But they do a sand art. It's intricate, like colored sand, and they do a very, very ornate, like almost a kind of a painting, like a piece of art with this. And three or four guys work on it together. And then it's done. After it's done, there's a quick ceremony, and then they wipe it away. So they'll spend like months working on this thing to simply destroy it at its at the end, and it's to show them like
it's like any marriage.
Yes, exactly. That's it's a parallel to marriage.
They call it arts for art's sake.
Yes, exactly.
Sand for sand's sake.
Many of our listeners I now know are understanding of that marriage.
Right.
Many of them come from broken relationships. Yeah.
Now I'm trying to figure out if they find you because of the poison in their lives, or if you are the poison in their lives.
I don't see the horn coming on that backhanded compliment. Listen, is that why you brought him in here? That you could gang up on me?
No, this
is supposed to be my day. You understand? That's the equivalent to my wedding day. My 100th episode.
Okay, all kidding aside. I did want to congratulate you. I know I'm piggybacking on the 100th episode
kidding.
Glory, but it's very impressive. I hope to be here for 200.
You will. Unless we make a lot more money and have to find another neighborhood.
And other people to work with.
I don't think I want to be here for the next 100 episodes.
Why? You don't want
to? I don't know.
Is the chair uncomfortable?
No, I've been standing all this time.
I apologize. I know that. I didn't notice.
I didn't even notice there was nothing.
No, I did not. Well, you being Latin, you're not very tall. You understand? So I hope you will forgive my, I did not see around the desk. Please, if you want, you can sit down. There's a boom stand on that.
It's all right. I'm about to leave.
Anyway, so are you giving me the wrap it up?
I think he's wrapping
my time may be only up. For now.
Okay, you know what? Let me walk him out and we can do moment of the week.
Okay, sounds good. Right. Well, thank you very much, Juan. It was still delightful to meet you.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
And thank you for being on the 100th show and sharing us your insight of uninvolvement as a parent. And I think we've picked up a lot from you.
Anytime you need me, just call Paco.
I will. I will definitely do that. Thank you so much, sir.
Okay.
Okay, we're back. We bid farewell to Juan Bedoya.
Bedoya.
Delightful man. Can I refer to him as your father now?
Yes,
can I say
can.
That now?
That's fine. We were having some fun with you. He was having some fun with me too. I was like, all right, here, let's just go.
It's always interesting. I always wonder if people see that within. My father used to be mistaken. I used to be mistaken for my father after I hit puberty, obviously, on the phone a lot.
Right.
And
you hit puberty on the phone?
Yeah. That's it's pretty a worship thing.
To have narrowed it down that closely.
Yeah. And it was a long distance relationship with my parents. But to the point where a funny story is that when my father was 51 and had his heart attack, he had a sales rep who was trying to call him. He needed help from one of his accounts, you know, and I said, so I called the guy back while my dad was in intensive care.
Yeah.
So the guy says, he called and he goes, Jesse, where the fuck have you been? I said, hold on a minute, Sal. And he goes, no, hold on a minute. Like he didn't know it wasn't my dad. He goes, I've been fucking calling you all day long. And now you return my call. It's like 9 o'clock at night. What the fuck is going on? You're leaving me hanging high and dry. I said, Sal, you need to stop. He goes, no, I don't. Like, I did the third lap, and right. I go, this isn't Jesse. And he goes, what? Yes, it is. I got caller ID. I go, no, this is his son, Justin. He goes, I don't know if you remember me. We met a long time ago. And then he said, he was like, what? What are you doing, Jess? Like, and I said, no.
He thought it was a dodge.
I said, and so I just started talking and just kept going over him. I said, it's Justin. My father had a heart attack. He's in intensive care. I've been watching his phone ring all day, but we obviously have been busy. And I was calling to let you know that's why he wasn't returning your call. He's stabilized. He's fine, but he's intensive care and he can't use his cell phone in intensive care. And then the guy just was silent and he goes, well, I guess that makes me the real asshole on this one, doesn't it? Son of a bitch. I'm so sorry. Is he okay? Like, he got all upset. but the funny thing is that the guy is a dick.
I would thought it was going to end with him going, you've got some nerve, Jesse.
Right. That would have been perfect. If this were a sketch, he would have been, Jesse, to pretend to be your son. Right. It sounds just
like
that.
And that you yourself have had a heart attack.
Yes. right. Let's do a little moment of the week and wrap up this 100th episode. I like this, right? That was a... How do you feel? Let's talk about a little bit on the air about the dynamic of the call-ins.
Absolutely. I was thrilled to have any calls in, right? Call-ins, let alone three quality callers. And I will be haunted by that fourth call that I made you put off. I should have had you answer it and then ask them to just join us as we talk to him a little bit. We'll do that in the future rather than keep people on hold.
Right.
But I didn't want to put him off completely. He'd come in earlier than we had expected him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you'd barely looked at him. So I'm like, let's get this guy in here. I love that he had to get out. He had enough of us. He had a heart out.
He's like, all right, I got to go now. And right. Thank you guys for everything.
I can't be here forever.
I will see you later.
They were terrific. I really love that. And I hope people continue. And we'll have subjects maybe. And we got to do more of this where it's at times, maybe weekends, whatever, where people can really jump in and mix it up with us. It's great, and it's fun to watch you work with other people.
Yeah, it was fun. I hope everybody else enjoyed it. Please do me a favor and either comment under the post on Facebook or send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com and just let us know what you think as the listener. And so let's do some moment of the week. I'm going to change this because I have a new machine, but that's enough.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
My moments of the week, I'll be honest, I've been having a little bit of a rough go with both of my guys lately. And I get in my head.
How so? Yeah.
I get in my head a lot about it. It's always at night. It's funny that I've talked about this both times. It's kind of happened before you were here all the time. It was happening when just you
all
happened to be
the
here.
Time.
I know, right? Every damn night. And right before I go to sleep, I have this little bit of moment. It's like, man, this was not a good day with my kids. You know, like,
yeah.
I just feel like I wasn't as patient as maybe as I could have. But then the minute I get back into it, this is where I think that definitely you and I will probably part ways on this.
Okay.
Is that when I get back into it, I'm like, fuck these kids. What the hell? Like, just stop whining and crying. It's not even like, because I lose my shit. And then they're starting, especially Jack, he's starting to do this thing. This is a great moment of the week, by the way. He started doing this thing where when I kind of snap at him and go, sit on your butt, like,
right.
You know,
sit
that
on
he,
your butt.
He kind of like, oh, father, you've rejected me. Like, and I.
Like one of those soccer players that's overdoing it.
Yeah, exactly right. FIFA
just
fever.
To get a little topical here.
Yeah. And so he, and I just go, knock it off. Like, I just go, nobody's buying it, you know, like, just stop. Stop. Like, you know, I would give that to you. And this is what it is to be my son and three. Like, I have a conversation with him like he's 33. And I just
right.
I go, listen, somebody would buy it if I didn't tell you this 18 bajillion times already. It's not like this is new information for you.
Mm-hmm.
When I snap at you with new information, then you can pretend to be a victim.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get it. It just goes over his head and still looks at me pouty face. But anyway, I have these moments where I go to bed at night and I wrestle with this idea of like, am I being the best father I can be? And what I find comfort in is that, in my opinion, I am not here to get them to like me or to be their friend. I feel like, because of what I'm doing now, that that will definitely happen when they're older. But now is not the time, right? Exactly. Fingers crossed. Now is not the time to be their friend. Now is the time to be their father. And if I come across as abrasive or hard on them, it is because, in my opinion, nobody's looking to kiss your ass when you get out of my house, so therefore no one is going to look to kiss your ass.
I definitely think I could use more of that approach. I'm never going to adopt it, just as you will never adopt
exactly.
My reason-headed, you know.
Which is why this is the best dynamic possible,
yeah,
in my opinion. But that, so anyway, having said all that, is that there was a great moment when my father was here. He got to see it firsthand. This is a repeat of a couple Father's Days ago, but it happened to my dad directly, and he got sheer joy out of it.
Yeah.
My son was showing off the things that he had made for Father's Day in his preschool class. And one of them, Jack made a little tie
that the teachers helped him draw like a face, and then they put a 49. All the other dads just got their hair color. But the teachers thought it would be funny because I always wear the same 49ers hat.
Sure.
That they would put a 49ers hat on mine, mm-hmm. and they helped Jack draw it and color right. it in.
And the hat is missing tonight, but the shirt is not.
Exactly. So I always have some kind of 49er attire on.
Yes.
And then it had his handprint on it. And then Jacob gave me like a medal, and it was a picture of me and him that the teacher had to stop in and take a picture. And
right.
and then she put that picture on this thing, and it's him. And then he also had a sign, something that he had made, said number one dad. And so it said that on there. And so my son was showing it to my father.
Uh-huh.
And my father looking at it, probably in some nostalgic way, remembering me at that age. And he goes, oh, number one dad, huh? And then Jacob goes, yeah, because he's my only one. Because he's the one.
Straight to the logic. Like, straight to it.
And
through all the bullshit.
This is where it got to be a real moment. My dad told me this story and kind of laughed. And Jacob goes, yeah, because you're my only one. I said, do you understand, son, that could imply that I am also the best father? You understand? Like, that's why you're saying I am number one
yeah.
to you. And he said, yeah, you're the best because I only have one dad. Like, now, not meaning it as a jilt or
no,
a stab at me, but just saying, like, you're in a contest of one. Like, he's almost having yeah. the 1970s dad argument about the participation trophy with
right,
me. Like,
right.
yes, you're number one. Nobody else is competing. It's a race of one, jackass. You want to take a fourth lap around this? Jiminy Christmas.
oh, my God. No, I would have loved if he'd said, no, you can't be the best. But you're the best one I've got.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I've... I wonder if on some level that's what he means.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
he was just trying to soften it for you.
I'm so horrible to that kid, and I don't mean to be, and I try to... He got me... this is not moment of the week conversation. I'll save it for another episode.
Okay,
And then with Jack... what is it with Jack? What is one? I think that Jack, Natalie posted it on her Facebook page. I did not want to put it on the internet, and it sounds incredibly narcissistic.
Uh-huh.
But I was afraid
Wait a minute. You were afraid of being narcissistic?
How dare you? This is my 100th episode.
Right.
You have done five.
Right. If that, right.
Because I thought that this video would go viral. It's uh-huh. my son being very adorable, singing along with Imagine Dragons and doing
yeah.
his cute little faces. But there's also a very sad moment that's very telling for anybody who has multiple children.
Which child is it?
This is Jack singing it in his car seat.
Yeah, he's
singing.
He's really not the most adorable one, though.
Out of the two? I agree wholeheartedly. Trust me.
No, I was just being an
I'm
asshole.
More of a fan of Jacob. And if, Jack, if you're hearing this and you don't like what I'm saying right now, listen, you have had so much sunshine blown up your ass your entire childhood. Most of it you don't remember. Unless it takes a sudden turn when you turn about four or five, trust me, those first 5 years of your at this moment, I will guarantee the first 3 years of your life have been filled with nothing but people going, oh, my God, you're so cute. He is so adorable. And then your brother, invisible to people.
I have Except to apologize to Jack because I was just trying to make
I know
a joke
are.
And I gave
He'll
him
never
a
hear
lifetime
this. Both
of
Both of
suffering.
Them don't give a shit about anything I do. But anyway, my point being that he what was my point? Oh, he's doing this adorable thing with his face and everything, and then Jacob, like, towards the video, does like a lean into the frame, like, right. I am also a child in this car. I am singing the song. He's just moving his face. Like, he doesn't say those
right,
words, but
right.
that's the subtext
that's
that you would look into it.
Yeah.
And my wife put it on her Facebook page, and I thought if we did put this on YouTube or something, what if it went viral? Then it'd be weird, you know, that people
yeah.
are all commenting on my kid, and
mm-hmm.
not that I don't know, it's just weird.
David
to me.
After dentist or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I don't like. Here's the thing:
your kids aren't that special. I
They're not. I know. Then yeah. that's the thing too, is that I'm like, I don't know. Like, I just I don't know. But then people that saw it on her Facebook page will comment like, "Oh, this will be a viral video," and
yeah,
you know. And I'm like watching it to make sure nobody shared it.
Only if they sent it to other people. They
right.
they can't just tell you it will
right.
be. They have to take action.
So what I've decided to help this is talk about it on my podcast. Fucking jackass.
Right. Yeah,
don't go to my wife's that. Facebook page, everybody. Just come see me live on the road and I'll show it to you.
He'll have it on his phone. Yeah.
Oh, it's it'd be funny if we only have like something like 300 likes on Facebook. Couldn't even, not a chance.
Right.
We
right.
have over 2,000 listeners and yet
right.
only 300 likes on Facebook. Anyway, I'm not bitter. This is the 100th episode. I'm happy. So those are my two little moments, is him doing that cute little thing in the car and singing along. He does this, it's the Radioactive song by Imagine Dragons, and every time there's a snare drum, he like shakes his face.
Uh-huh.
He does this like serious, and he does this hand thing. That
right,
was,
right.
He's very into the music, and he likes to listen. So that's our bonding thing right now, is he likes to listen to the alternative songs that I started listening to because I'm playing them on this radio gig I have. Blah, blah, blah. All right, your turn, Mr. Lancini.
Sorry, I was just enjoying a sip of my moonshine.
Yeah, exactly. That I made very strong.
Yeah.
Buckle up, Luna, if you're listening to this.
No. Oh, yeah,
posthumously,
right.
Now you know.
Posthumously?
Well, not that you died. I'm not very good at words. I'm not. First of all, rest in peace, dear Luna.
You
will be missed. We all loved you dearly. But also, this is why you died doing the thing you loved, making love to your man.
There you go. Yes. Okay, so I am actually feeling it a little bit.
Right?
This is me with a buzz on.
Yeah.
Hey, buckle up, everybody. So here's the thing. This is I try not to make it too long, but it's a moderately involved story. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, God created. No. I don't have to go back quite that far.
Please don't.
Okay, so years ago. Sorry, it's not that much better. Diego had been expressing an interest in getting a dog. This is before we had any animals.
Oh, you're gonna talk about this.
And he wanted a big dog. And so he just wanted a dog, period, actually. That was it. We were more inclined to get something small in the schnauzer vein, yes, or whatever it was.
Like you have.
Like we ended up getting.
Yeah.
Jumping to the punchline. So,
my bad.
That's all right. It doesn't matter. So I'll go through it quickly. And so what happened was but we were determined, because we're good hearted people, we were determined to either do a sheltered adoption or a rescue of some kind. And so we pursued those avenues. We found the shelters were repeatedly bitter disappointments, because there's lotteries and there's other ways that you just don't end up with an animal that you want, or the animal you want, and kids are falling in love, but then you can't have that one. And similarly, the rescues that we dealt with, this is several years ago now, you felt very judged, and they would come right out and say, well, we don't want to give you a small dog because your children will hurt it. Now, you know my kids. They're the same temperament now that they were then. They were not going to hurt any animal.
Fucking assholes.
So then we ended up finding... like somewhere, way the fuck, I don't know. It was 40 minutes away I had to drive. And they had a litter of lab mixes. And this was the runt. And she had small feet, and she looked like, okay, she's not going to get big. But even a small lab, even a puppy lab, is still pretty
close
big.
To 100 pounds, right?
Yeah, they're big. And we went out there, and she was lovely, and we fell in love with her. Her name was Maggie. We brought her home. And I think we might have made it 6 weeks or 2 months. And she was just way too much dog for us.
She was too big.
She was too big. Nobody in the house but me could handle her. I mean, the kids were under 10 years old, each of them. And she was too much for Luna. And, you know, she ate the kitchen. We would keep her in the kitchen with toys and everything, and a lot of playing and all the things you're supposed to do. But she'd still chew
on the furniture.
Yeah, she chewed right through the cabinetry.
Puppies are horrible.
Well, yeah. So
much like babies.
Yeah, it's exactly. Very much like babies. But in that time, you know, Griffin had bonded with her, so on and so forth. The drive back to that place with him in the car, we took her back to the rescue we got her from.
No.
He howled, brokenhearted. Eight?
Oh.
Nine? For 40 minutes. I'd never,
you poor
it was
guy.
The worst thing I've
I'm
ever
not worried about him. I'm more worried about you. Now he laughs about that. You understand?
Maggie's out the door. She's gone. We end up with a schnauzer because we went to a breeder. We found one who had a factory reject schnauzer. There was it couldn't be a show
10%
dog.
Off.
It couldn't be a show dog, and it would have ended up in a shelter or in a rescue. And so we bought her from Arkansas and flew her to us.
Oh, my God.
Insanity. Okay, so that was our first experience. Flash forward about 2 months, 2 years ago, he starts talking about wanting a German Shepherd. This is Diego. He would be about 14 at the time. I'm like, he's like, it's going to be my dog. It's just going to be me. He's got cross country. He's got 4 minutes of free time a day. And I'm sure he's jerking off during those 4 minutes. So I really don't think. I swear to God.
After talking to this kid, though, I don't think he is.
I don't know.
That's what I'm worried about him.
I'm a little worried, too. So
he's got such a good head on his shoulders. Yeah. That,
I mean, anytime you want to go into his room, just a quick knock on the door, you can open it, and there's no scramble.
What's
up? No mad dash.
There's nothing, no red face.
Right.
No flop sweat.
Right,
no,
exactly.
No awkward pile of Kleenex.
So it didn't happen 2 years ago, and about a year and a half ago, it came up again more strongly. And about a year ago, we were really having serious conversations. And my side of it with Luna was, look, if we assume we're going to break down and get him this dog, and we do it, and we do it now, he has 3 years with it before he goes off to college, assuming he's going to leave the house for college. He better fucking leave the house for college. So
that is all for the show. I'm willing to put money on that.
That is so. So, but if we wait, he's going to have less and less time with the dog, and then, you know, whatever. So,
if you have to put it down after he leaves, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what my father would be thinking.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, and then while we were having that kind of conversation, this opportunity, my Luna wandered around and found this other little dog, and she for many more years than he had been talking about wanting a dog, she had always wanted a tiny little dog, and so it turned into her getting her wish and him not getting his wish.
Listen, that's the perk when you pay the bills.
Yeah,
you know
seriously.
What I mean? Like, that's what I love to spread the word to your children.
So she got that puppy, and so I thought, well, the good side of this is he can see what having a puppy means,
right?
And even the small one, now multiply it by seven. And now it's a year later, and he was talking about it again pretty seriously, and I went back to Luna with that logic. Listen, I don't want all these animals, but he works so hard, and he is such a good kid. And he said, this is my dog. You're not going to deal with it. I mean, obviously, once I'm in school, you're going to have to step in there, but training and cleaning up and all the walking, everything else. And I know kids throughout history have said that.
Yes.
But this is my kid, and this is a kid I know I can trust, and so on and so forth. So I'll cut past the trying again with the rescues and the shelters and all the heartbreak that came because we did it like idiots. We just went right back into it again. Mm-hmm. But this time we had a dog trainer who's sort of in our circle, and she helped us a bit. And we ended up at a local German Shepherd rescue and went to meet a dog they had there. They want you to bring your whole family and all your dogs and everything. And I'm like, I'm not walking in there until I'm not bringing these other two maniacs in a car over there until I know what I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
And so we went down and sort of screened them. And while we were there, we met this, among other dogs. They did have a puppy who they brought out, and they had an animal behaviorist there who works there, David. And he was very, I made a joke, like, he's like what Patrick Swayze would be if he'd lived to like 70. You know, he just sort of, you know, Hawaiian shirt and his long hair, and he was all zenned out about everything. And he says, you don't teach a dog with words, you teach him with your attitude. You know, that stuff like that.
I fucking hate this guy.
No, I mean, I would want to punch him
in
the
throat. If you plug the show to him, fuck you, David, if you're listening, and what you do to people.
No, don't do that.
You're two steps below a meter maid, in my opinion, you asshole.
Here's the thing. I would want to punch him in the throat if I didn't see him with dogs. He had never dealt with that puppy before, and he had her eating out of his hand, and then he shortly had her eating out of Diego's hand.
It makes it even worse that he's right, in my opinion.
But our trainer's there, and she's all about training with words, and she's kind of like,
he kind of dog whispered. Like, I watched Dog Whisperer where he ran into this chihuahua and did like this thing. He didn't even do his usual getting him on a walk. He just went, hey, and like did his fingers, and then like literally pointed down, and the dog was 10 feet away, and the dog just sat. And this is a dog he just walked in and saw. Right. Like,
it was kind of like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, we then went. Oh, I want to double back to the other lab. Chad hid in his room the entire time. That
petrified
because she had all that energy. It was a lab mix. She was mixed with Whippet. You couldn't find a worse. Whippets are these super thin, like they're wiry and they're just crazy energetic and they're almost like greyhounds in the way they look.
Is this what those people were singing about in the '80s? When something comes along, you must whip it.
Yeah, whip it good. This is whip it bad. So she
that's how my dad dealt with dogs. He was not a man of words or attitude.
Whip it.
He was a whip it guy.
So anyway, So even while we're looking at this puppy and all this time, all this discussion,
you're worried that
but Chad is openly going, I don't want a dog. I don't want a dog. Yeah. I don't want a dog. Now, during the process, we had taken him to the Burbank shelter and we'd met a dog that then they jerked us around. Anyone who's listening to Lose in Burbank or you're looking to adopt, not only find out, particularly from a local city organization, they may require that you're a resident. Find out what the rules are regarding how many animals you can own.
Because
we had our dicks out and we were ready to go with this dog. We were in the champagne room and they went, oh, you already have, you'd be running a kennel we can't let you have this dog. But they had known all along how many we had.
Yeah.
It's just we told six of the wrong people and the seventh one knew what the rule was. Oy. So anyway, and Chad had fallen hard for that one because he was very peaceful and he was easygoing. And so now he was mad. Anyway, so the point was I'm worried about how Chad's going to take it. And they tell us this puppy. They kept referring to the puppy, the puppy, the puppy. So finally, we said, "Does she have a name? Do you call her something? What's her story?" They said her name is Maggie.
Oh.
And I went, "Holy!" Because that was the name of the other one. And I went, "This is karma. This is going to be our dog. There's no way this is not our dog." So we came back the next day with Chad, with the Schnauzer and the Chihuahua, and our trainer. They had a handler and their behaviorist.
David the behaviorist.
And everybody. Right.
They, from Roadhouse.
18 people on the sidewalk. And it was just a really, really fantastic to watch. People who know how to deal with animals, read their body language, understand how to treat them and how to get them to see each other as non-threatening. It was fascinating to watch it sort of develop. And in the process, I didn't do it, but they had Griffin. Sorry. They had Diego walking.
Uh-huh.
With the with that dog, but also our dogs, just one of them, just walking along with them. It was just astonishing to look at, and also Luna, and then eventually Chad was just the only one handling that dog, and the trainer was standing on the other side of the street. It was just so. This is one of my moments of the week, is watching this kid who a week before had been
I absolutely don't want to have anything
to do with this, and here he was. He was in charge. That dog was looking up at him, and you're in control. You're in control. And now part of that was because the trainer was there, but not entirely. And so it's been really wonderful to watch how that. So we did adopt this dog.
Mm-hmm.
And then that eventually leads me to my second moment of the week, briefly.
Maggie ate both your other little dogs.
No.
They went home and had a three-way.
I did decide. Yeah, right. I did decide, by the way, what the pseudonyms for these dogs will be.
Oh.
All right, so you've got the Schnauzer, you've got the Chihuahua, and you have the...
German Shepherd.
The German Shepherd. It's Siegfried, Roy, and Montecore.
I hope Montecore is not the German Shepherd, because somebody's going to lose a face.
And the Chihuahua is Roy. So there you go. You're going to be dragged around by the head. Anyway, we still haven't joined them all together yet, but so that we're living a divided life right now. But we
why not? Is that their suggestion?
Well, no, because there's so much anxiety when the dogs get together and start barking, and they clearly want to be friends, but we're just afraid someone's going to get hurt, and then there's four of us, and we're all getting hyper, and it feeds the mania, and I'm just like, let's get the trainer back here, and let's just make this happen.
So the trainer has to come in and
she's
do all this.
Come in and help.
You are 10,000 times a better man than me.
Well. So in the meantime,
I would let me tell you a little story just for perspective. That my brother has a bunch of chocolate labs. Okay,
mm-hmm.
He's had one that, and then it had puppies.
Delicious.
And they are, and then he kept two of the puppies, one for his daughter and one for his son, my niece and nephew. And so my parents have a little Scottish Terrier, and they've been around or whatever, and fine. My mom went over there for like a garage sale, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let this dog in the backyard. It's still not light out, and the dog is black. Evidently, this dog freaked out these chocolate labs, and they mauled it. They went gangbusters on this little dog. And my dad had to drop thousands of dollars at the vet to get this dog back and get it okay again. So then they go over there again, and they're going to my brother's house. And they've been there since. But he was still he was all stitched up still, so they kept him separate.
Right. I'm sorry I'm laughing.
It's funny. It gets funnier, in my opinion. You might cry. So then they're going back a third time. This time it's going to be that we're going to test out to see how they act. Just let them interact. And my dad says, if this dog gets mauled again, you stay out of it. because I want it to get done. Because I'll be damned if I have to pay to bring another dog back to life. And honestly, I know my father, but when he started saying this, I thought he was saying it for my mother's safety. You know, no. He was just looking at his bottom line of his checkbook saying, I retired. Right. We don't have new money coming in. It's all what we've built up to this point. And I'll be damned if that fucking dog eats up more.
Oh, my God.
So just the idea that you have a trainer who's coming in is, I don't want it to sound like I'm mocking, because that's not it. It just seems foreign to me. It just seems like, it's not like I'm like, what the hell? No, let me go over there. I'll fucking get the dogs. No, I don't know any better. Look at my dog's a fucking basket case.
Right.
It's just a foreign concept to me to be worried about an animal's psyche. It's just like, I don't
get
it.
Well, not just psyche, because I mean, look, even if they're going to play together, that Montecore could snap Roy in half in just a second.
Right. That's fucking law of the jungle, baby. Survival of the fittest.
Well, it would certainly disrupt my sleep, I think. What would go on there?
For a few nights. Here's the thing. Let's say the German Shepherd kills one of your little dogs, right?
Yeah.
Here's what I hear. I don't know what goes on indoors.
Well, you hear less yapping.
Right. But what I hear, and I never hear, honestly, but occasionally when I'm outside and you're like, your wife is going to the car or something, shut up, is what I hear. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's what I hear.
In all fairness, she could be talking to any of us.
Fair enough. I just assumed it was the dog. Yeah, so that's never mind. Okay, never mind. I'm going to retract that.
Now, while I appreciate your enriching my moment of the week, you certainly came and dragged death and blood and destruction into it.
So, I couldn't let it rise above mine. You understand?
Right, I understand.
Mine was filled with me bitching about my kids.
I know. You not only ruined your moment of the week, you ruined mine.
Yes.
So anyway, then it came down to a question of what we were going to call her. Not that there's anything wrong with the name Maggie, but Griffin had, it's his dog, and he'd been imagining, you know, first when he was thinking it would be a boy dog, Apollo, or, you know,
he's a canine for the Burbank PD.
Right. So, and he's, by the way, he's doing great. He's walking it. He's feeding it. Mm-hmm. I'm involved a little bit, but it sleeps in his room. She sleeps in his room. It's all, he's doing a gangbuster job. And Chad is heavily involved. I mean,
I saw them both out in the front yard one day.
Exactly. And all on all these walks and everything else. So all of that is great. And so I'm on one of these walks with them, and there's a clock ticking on how long we have to name it, because we have to get back to the rescue so they can have the
name.
Well, because they,
it's not a fucking baby. It doesn't get a social security number.
She's got a chip. And so they need to register her name with the chip. So if she runs away, she'll end up at a vet, and they'll tell that she's got a chip, and then it'll get back to us.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway, we didn't have to put it in. Believe me, the other two aren't chipped.
You can't fill it with a temporary name, or just put...
Well, I don't know. Look, I'm not... In any case...
Again, a 10,000 times better man than me. I would say, when they call me honeyman, I go, fuck yourself.
Dear listeners, I am going to try to ramp up to this payoff if I can just get...
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. If I can just get there, it's fine. We're on a walk... We're thinking about it. He shut off his microphone. No, please join me.
They want to. It's easier this way. It's better.
He folded his arms. He took his football and he went home. So anyway, we're on the walk. Discussion of names. We had considered Athena at some point, but it didn't pass. So I'm walking behind the boys, and apparently now I'm several steps back, and the subject of names comes up again. And Griffin talks about the name he is now circling, considering. And others don't get a real vote. They just can say, oh, that's good or not, whatever, but it's his decision. And the name that he was thinking about, when he said it, I actually teared up. Every time I thought of it after that, I almost cried. And that has eventually become her name. And it doesn't quite hit me as hard as it did in the beginning, but just somehow there was something just very profound about it for me. He named his dog Journey.
Oh,
is that right? Yeah.
He's had moonshine, everybody.
Seriously, I'm a little. Yeah. And I just the idea, I mean, she's, if the odds are with her, she'll be alive till he's 30.
Yeah.
And he will go through a lifetime of... you know, I'm speaking to a guy who's barely 30 himself, or just
how
just
dare you?
Just from,
I
no,
am
no, no, no,
gray haired, high cholesterol,
prematurely.
My driver's license, I'm 35, but visually, I am 47.
I just found it really suddenly, violently touching. I'm not even quite sure why. I was just very taken by his growing up, I guess, and what the future holds for him. So that was definitely a moment of the week for me. And for, he would say moment of the week possibly was getting his braces off. So he's very excited about
braces
that.
Off and journey in.
Yeah. Oh, now as it turns out, taking a little shine off of it for me, the name came up as he and his mom were talking about 80s bands. So I'm just glad.
So he did it because he did not stop believing in the fact he could get a German Shepherd.
Right. What's
You're
funny
welcome.
Is he's got a, oh my God, if he ever hears me, he appears to have a playlist for the shower, because every time he's in the shower, I can hear the same three songs.
Don't stop.
And that's one of them. There's some Journey song in there.
He's in there weeping, hoping for the dog that you denied him, horrible people. Staring at whatever schnauzer or whatever chihuahua, whatever the other dog is that the mother just came in. Look what I got myself.
Right.
This poor kid and his poor, poor life. That's only because I think he's listening.
I think I just lost my ears. There it comes back. Here, I'm going to give you a toast on your 100th.
100th episode.
I'm delighted to be part
of this. Welcome to the club, my friends.
Thank you very much.
There's to 100 more.
Cheers. And call us.
Yeah, please call 877-222-8323. Throw it in your phone. Send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Follow the show on Twitter @dadpodcast to find out when we are recording so that you can call in.
And you can tweet us while we're recording.
You can tweet us while we're recording as well. You could follow me @JustinWorsham on Twitter. You could follow Paco Lancini @TheRealPacoL on Twitter. I think I did it all. Give us a like at facebook.com/dadpodcast. Go to thedadpodcast.com, become a paid subscriber, and really, really change our lives. Can you imagine, Paco, if this was our gig? Can you imagine? Here's what I would like the listener to do, especially if you're a stay-at-home dad. He jokes about the show, but I think what would be awesome and really help his marriage, if there's one thing I could do, is that if he starts making just as much money as his wife does doing this bullshit, and then he could just start yelling back at her, going, no, this is how it's going to be.
That would be fantastic. Actually, if I made as much money as she did, we'd probably just end up divorced.
You're fine.
Right.
You're fine now. You can't take me for everything.
Exactly. I always used to tell her that I was, when divorce loomed, the threat of divorce loomed, I used to joke not so much to her but to my friends that she'd be sorry because she was going to have to keep me in the manner to which I had grown accustomed.
Exactly. Natalie said the same thing,
which is borderline poverty. You know.
Oh, on behalf of my good friend Paco, Mike, Michael, Josh.
Absolutely.
Did I nail them all? And then the unknown caller who called in, never to be spoken to again. Please call back and let us know if it was you.
Not on call back yet. Call back and tell us it was you.
Yeah. And Juan.
Juan Bedoya.
Happy 100th episodes to all of us. Stay frosty.